tonight. Hello, hello. Come on in. We are ready to begin our Monday Manna Bible study, and we're waiting for Y-O-U.
Well, we praise God for each of you tonight as you are joining us. Just let us know that you're getting a clear signal, whether it's on the Facebook side or whether it's the live streaming side. We're certainly grateful for this another day that God has afforded us. And we give God praise, honor, and glory for his keeping power and for sustaining us in the midst of everything that we yet are going through, that we will go through, and that we've already experienced. And we thank him for this, the 11th day of December, as we prepare for a time of study. And we are confident in the fact that his word is true and that our faith will increase as a result of this study tonight, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
Yes, it is.
And so we praise God. Lady Kim is going to walk us through this 31st chapter of 2 Chronicles tonight. As you can see, she's armed and prepared for this study tonight, and so we're just going to follow her lead as we make our way through this time together. I'm trying to get a smile, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen tonight. So we praise God for each of you. Let us know you're getting a clear signal. We see several of you are on, and we praise God for each of you. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer as we prepare ourselves for what God is going to do even tonight. Father, we're extremely grateful for your peace and your power and your protection. We thank you for giving us a measure of hope, and we thank you for healing, and thank you for delivering. We thank you for giving us confidence in the fact that you love us and we love you, and that whatever we might attempt to do, even if we don't get to the point where we have completed the task, you promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You said you'd be with us always, even until the end. And so we thank you for giving us another opportunity to be involved in the ongoing work of kingdom building. And so we pray your blessing to be upon us, even as we engage in this study tonight. We ask the Lord that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God said, amen. Somebody give God a thumbs up. Did we get a clear signal that people can hear us all right,
yes,
Lady Kim?
Clear signal.
Okay, thank you, Minister Monique, for letting us know that. And so I think last week we had a little technical difficulties, but we continued to press through, and many of you stayed on and just waited and tried to reconnect. And so we're glad that we're getting in a clear signal tonight. And we thank God for what he's going to do through this time of study. Somebody say amen. All right, I can't get no amens. Lady Kim, the only somebody that can actually say something. Somebody give me a thumbs up. That's a sign of amen. There you go, a heart or something like that. Okay. All right. Well, Lady Kim, how you feel today?
I'm pretty good.
Okay. Was it a long day for you?
It was pretty long.
Okay. You still at work, aren't you? You answering calls,
yes,
and receiving text messages and trying to stay focused on the study and then trying to stay actively engaged in what God's going to do through this study tonight. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. You probably would have phrased that a little different, but you get the message, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we had another exceptional day on yesterday. And I just praise God for how he continues to show himself strong on our behalf, and how he continues to make his presence felt in the worship experience, and how even as we ready ourselves and prepare for what God is going to do, we don't know until he does it.
That's right.
And so when he shows up,
he shows up.
We ought to be ready to receive what he has for us. And so we praise God for the vessel that he used on yesterday, Dr. Quali Seymour. And we're grateful for how she continues to seek God's face in obedience to his word.
Amen.
And she had a word for us on yesterday, didn't she? And you know, we're right in the Advent season, and she was challenging us and is just encouraging us how important it is for us to understand that we have a God that we can trust.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
And so that was a powerful word and just one scripture, but it was power-packed. But she did her assignment and her homework and her research, and she went back and laid out the foundation and gave us some tips on what had already happened and that led up to verse number, what verse is that, 15?
Yes.
The 13th verse, the 15th chapter of Romans. And so just in that one verse, she really unpacked what God is saying to us. And what did you get out of that word yesterday? Did you take any notes yesterday?
I took a few notes.
Okay. Your notes died on you? Did they come through?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So one of the things, you know, and I take notes that about what speaks to me, you know, about the sermon, you know, not in particularly the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what stood out to me yesterday is when she talked about how God is a God that we can trust.
Okay.
In every situation, in every circumstance. And that Christians, you know, we've all been set free if we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We've all been set free, free from our bondage. But some Christians act like they're not free. They're still walking around entangled, carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders, carrying their circumstances and their situations with them on a daily basis. Still in bondage, still the bonds have been broken, but we're still wearing the ankle bracelet. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been free from our prison, but we still walking around like we are imprisoned. And so we have to have, you know, a sense of well-being about ourselves. So, and then we need to stop disagreeing over frivolous things.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. So that's what you, that's what the Lord was speaking to you in
yes.
the midst of the sermon on mm-hmm. yesterday. Okay. Okay. Because you're absolutely correct. the Bible says he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And we find ourselves many times, going back and being entangled in the things that we have been set free from. And we find ourselves getting back involved in stuff that God has already delivered us from because we have not set the proper disciplines in order to sustain us in the midst of our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're free, you just don't, you got to act like you're free. You got to live like you're free.
Amen.
And you
got
to do what's necessary in order to stay free, because if not, you'll find yourself back in the same predicament that you were set free from.
That's right.
Uh-huh. So I didn't hear that yesterday, but that's a good point, because I think part of what I did here in terms of that particular scripture as it relates to Advent was the hope that we have in a God that we can trust, and how important it is for us to know that God has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us.
Mm-hmm.
And he has promised that he would supply all of our needs. And so Paul gets to the point, and he jumps right in that 13th verse, where he tells the believers, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace. And so I think that helps give us clarity, particularly in the times that we find ourselves in, where many times the hope that we are seeking, we seek after other things other than seeking after God to sustain us and give us the hope and the peace that surpasses all understanding.
Amen. And Paul references the God of hope, and God specializes in things thought to be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to trust God where we are, because what we think is impossible
mm-hmm.
is always a possibility with God.
Okay, okay. Man might consider it not possible, but as you just indicated, what we look at, we cannot measure God's ability to turn the situation around. His thoughts are not our thoughts, right?
Right.
And his ways far exceed our ways. And so many times we get caught up in looking at things in a natural sense. And I think that whole maturity level speaks to how we respond to what we're going through.
Right.
She made mention to that maturity and how we have to grow up in the things of God. And I think part of that has to do with us seeking God's face and continuing to maintain a level of commitment to what we have been set free from by doing the work, you know, and practicing what we need to practice. And we don't just say we're free, but we have to practice like we're free and be, and move like we're free and do the things that free people do.
Amen. And one of the things she talked about is that the devil is the chief liar. Mm-hmm. And he wants to keep us bound in the situations that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to learn how to free ourselves or free our minds, or our mentality has to be free from the lies and the bondage of Satan. And she said, God is a chain-breaking deliverer.
That's right. That's
He's
right.
He's a chain-breaking deliverer.
Glory
so
God.
We can't listen to the lies of the enemy.
Okay.
But
okay.
We have to learn how to move in faith and hope towards what God has for us. The God of hope will fill us with joy and peace if we just trust in Him.
She really described a different kind of peace. We're carrying a peace, but we don't have the peace that surpasses all understanding.
Amen.
I believe she said something in reference to that, didn't she?
Yeah.
And so many times people think it's in their pocket when it should be in their heart.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
And so we have to trust God, and as a result of that trust in Him, it says that something powerful is going to happen to us, and something will continue to sustain us in the midst of what we're going through, so that you may overflow with hope.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what candle that was we lit Sunday. Was that the candle of hope?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was, that was a joy, I think.
Joy, mm-hmm. Sunday. And so all of that ties in with Advent, because we have to have the kind of hope that really rises us above the situation that we find ourselves in, and it gives us an overflow that starts on the inside. And she described that each of us have a different reference to our overflow, and she made reference to some of the things that has caused her overflow. And when you talk about overflow, you're talking about running over, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You know, and so even in when you talk about the tithe, and Malachi says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there be meat in my house, and prove me herewith now, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I won't open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. So when you think about overflow, you think in terms of your cup running over, you being filled to the brim and then some, and how you have an opportunity to really get a chance to experience God at another level.
Right.
Would you agree with me on that?
Yes. And then she talked about the joy of the Lord, that the God of hope will fill us with joy and peace. I think I already said that, if we trust in Him. But joy is not the absence of chaos.
Okay.
You know, so if you're saved, you have peace. You have the kind of peace that surpasseth all understanding. You don't have the peace that the world gives, you know. And that's what she was talking about, that peace, having
right.
your peace.
Right.
Not that kind of peace, you know, that's in your pocket, but the peace that's in your heart. We are reconciled to God, so nothing is missing and nothing is broken. And the God of hope wants to fill us with hope. Fills us, like you said, to overflowing. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be filled with hope and peace.
Mm-hmm.
We are the overflow of expectation. and Jesus is the center of our joy.
Okay. And I think that's where she kind of closed
that.
Out.
Yeah, yes, Jesus, end. You're the center of my joy.
Right. So I really enjoyed that word, and I praise God for preparation that went into it and how it really made it clear to all those who were present that we can, we have a God that we can trust, and mm-hmm. we know that He will never forsake us. He won't leave us, and He loves us too much to leave mm-hmm. us where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And even on Saturday, you closed out your second workshop. Great crowd. The numbers were good. And I think the people are yet excited about an opportunity to serve. And so, again, I applaud you for making that happen in the life of the church and bringing more clarity to the importance of what we're trying to do with our Meals from the Heart.
Amen.
It's an outreach ministry, but it's a vital ministry, and it's trying to raise to the point where that's going to be one of our leading ministries in the life of the church.
Amen.
And it takes a little nurturing and leadership, I believe, and we praise God for those who are already working hard and serving, and the numbers are growing. And I think you got a pretty healthy list of people who are willing to volunteer in various areas.
Amen.
Anything else you would like to share about that?
No, and I just appreciate everybody who took the time to come out and participate. It's our desire or our hope that everyone who assists with Meals from the Heart will go through that workshop.
Mm-hmm,
so mm-hmm. any new members, any people that come on board, any people who are currently serving that have not gone through the workshop, it's important that you go through the workshop so you can really get a sense of and the impact of what we're trying to do in the community.
Okay. So is that going to be something that's going to be standard, that's going to be a part of others?
Yes.
So you're going to include that in what part of the leadership meetings on Saturday, or how are you going to incorporate that?
Well,
Have you gotten that far yet?
I said I would do it like quarterly or maybe twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe at the beginning of the year and then mid-year mm-hmm. or something like that.
Okay.
So that anybody who would like to help or, you know, has not gone through can do that.
Okay.
Qualis, Dr. Q said we had two workshops, 60 attendees.
That's great. That's great.
So that's awesome. 60 people.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to get those surveys tallied up and the information so that I can begin writing my final two chapters of my dissertation.
Okay. All right. Well, what else happened? We saw the Lord add to the church again on yesterday,
yes.
And we praise God for those who came. And we're yet excited, even as we prepared for our close-out yearly congregational meeting, it was evident that God is still blessing. And so we continue with the same theme moving forward into next year, that we might continue to expect God to that we might reap the harvest that God has available for us. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so we are praying for an abundant harvest in 2024. And we have decreed and declared, and we're going to fast and pray that we're going to do more in 2024, and that new people are going to come on and be a part and attach themselves to the work that God has assigned to the house. And that the membership numbers are going to increase. The budget has already increased. And that the attendance is going to increase. And then that all of those things that are associated with that, our study, like even for tonight and our Sunday school and everything that we do, our outreach, we're looking for more in 24.
More in 24.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
we are.
It's going to be big.
Hey, it's going to be
big. Yeah. And so we're excited about that. And then the congregational meeting went quite well. We had probably our largest attendance and since we've come back in person, because I think the last one we did in person but that was our mid-year. And then the one before that, I believe we streamed it, if I'm not mistaken. But we had 80 plus people in attendance for the for the final congregational report. And everybody seemed to be excited and willing to lend their hand and their gift. And we recognized all of those who had completed the Institute. That's why I was asking you, how are you going to incorporate that? Because that might be something that we can include in the next Institute as well.
Oh,
your workshop.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, anything else you want to share before we get ready to jump in? We're going to be in chapter 31 tonight of Second Chronicles. And we're getting right to the end almost. I think there are about, 37 verses? 37 chapters.
I think we have five more chapters left, so 36.
36 chapters in Second Chronicles. And the plan is to close that out before the end of the year.
Mm.
That's the plan.
Okay.
Because we're going to start a new study the first of the year. Mm-hmm. And so we probably have to double up on next week in terms of just kind of gleaning from a couple of those chapters so we can kind of catch up a little bit.
Okay.
I think did we miss a week, or did we have, we hadn't missed a week, had we?
I don't
but
think
Bible
so.
Study? Okay. So what we're going to find out here tonight, there are about 21 verses here in the 31st chapter of Second Chronicles. Many of you probably already read it. And what we'll find out here tonight is that this is really a time for restoration. And we'll see that Hezekiah is really challenging the people. And he's also asking for support for his vision and what God has placed upon his heart. And we'll see a whole lot about the commitment of Hezekiah in terms of his willingness to stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
And he has what it takes in order to lead. And several things jumped out at me as I was just kind of preparing for it. He was a leader who did what was good and what was righteous. Mm-hmm. And so that I think that brings a smile on God's face when he sees those who he have placed in leadership. They're willing to do what's good, and they're really willing to do what's righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with me on that?
I agree. I agree that blessings flow in abundance when you do that which is good and righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what God expects of us.
Okay.
And I think when we obey God's commands and do his will and his work, then he rewards us as a result.
That's right. That's right. Because that's right in line with what I was going to say next, because the last two verses in this 31st chapter, it just reaffirms what we just said. And with every work that he began, he did it with all of his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says that God blessed him and he prospered.
Yes.
And so I think a lot happens, Lady Kim, when there's a cleansing of our soul and it connects to the genuineness of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And God looks upon our heart and he blesses us because he knows that we're doing what's right and pleasing in his sight.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So, anything else you want to add before we jump in, and
not
then we'll come back?
And,
any comments there that we need to look at?
Not right now.
Well, Hezekiah was willing to pay the price. I think that's going to be something that's going to come out here in this particular study, and that he was willing to do what was necessary in order to get the job done. And he paid the price for commitment. And so that's important for all of us in leadership as well as in fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
To do what's necessary in order for God to smile on us.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Well, you ready to put your reading glasses on? Oh, you got your reading glasses on.
I got some glasses on. I don't know how well I can read with them, but we're going to give it our best shot.
All right. You ready?
Yes. We're in 2 Chronicles, the 31st chapter. Now, when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke down the pillars, hewed down the sacred poles, and pulled down the high places and the altars throughout all Judah and Benjamin and in Ephraim and Manasseh until they had destroyed them all. Then all the people of Israel returned to their cities, all to their individual properties. Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and of the Levites, division by division, everyone according to his service, the priests and the Levites for burnt offerings and offerings of well-being, to minister in the gates of the camp of the Lord, and to give thanks and praise. The contribution of the king from his own possessions was for the burnt offerings, the burnt offerings at morning and evening, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbath and the new moons and the appointed festivals, as it is written in the law of the Lord. He commanded the people who lived in Jerusalem to give the portion due to the priests and the Levites so that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the word spread, the people of Israel gave in abundance the first fruits of grain, wine, oil, honey, and all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundance the tithe of everything. The people of Israel and Judah who lived in the cities of Judah also brought in the tithe of cattle and sheep and the tithe of the dedicated things that had been consecrated to the Lord their God and laid them in heaps. In the third month, they began to pile up the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and the officials came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites about the heaps. The chief priest Azariah, who was of the house of Zadok, answered him, "Since they began to bring the contributions into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty to spare, for the Lord has blessed his people so that we have this great supply left over."
Okay.
That was through verse number 10.
Okay. And that's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
Because he's reestablishing the order of the house to start out.
Yes.
And reassigning the Levites. And it's almost like another consecration restoration is taking place and establishing the order in terms of making sure that everybody understands their role and their responsibility.
Amen. And you know, it starts out when all of this was done. And what they're referring to is what we talked about in the 30th chapter.
Right, right.
You know, the reestablishing of the temple, the cleansing of the temple, the restoration of all the temple utensils and things like that. And so when all of that was done, now they began to offer their tithes to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And this is important. You know, it talked about how the people gave in abundance.
Okay.
And because they gave, then it says that they had plenty to spare, that they had enough left over and even more so. So that gives us a good glimpse into what tithing can do.
Okay.
You know, once we give of our tithe, then God has blessed us overflow. And you mentioned it earlier tonight about Malachi 3:10, how God will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that we shall not have room enough to receive. And and this is one of the instances where that happened.
That's great. And so I think the application for us as believers in the house of God and particularly anointed temple of praise is to be faithful in our giving and present God our first fruit. That's what he's talking about here. And also bringing the tithe. And it's not about equal giving, but equal sacrifice. And when we do that, when we don't hold back on God, when we don't give God what's left, but we give him what's right, then it would be more than enough to meet the needs of the house and still have enough left over That's where the overflow comes in. Amen. Is that correct?
That's
correct.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so his people, the Bible says, they gave, and what was left, it was in great abundance. And so it's almost like they had enough, like you talked about with the feeding of the 5,000, mm-hmm. where they had enough leftovers to deal with what their need was. And all of the people were blessed, and every need was met, and they had enough leftovers so people can still have room to enjoy, you know, from their labor.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Hey, Ryan, it's good to see you tonight on with us for study. And we praise God for each of you who are part of the study tonight. Any comments there, Lady Kim, any questions?
None right now.
Okay. And so you finished, you moved down to verse number 10.
Right.
And we're in 2 Chronicles, the 31st chapter tonight. For those of you just joining us, we just finished sharing our thoughts about what had happened in the first 10 verses. And Lady Kim just finished sharing with us the exegetical part of that and how important it is for us to really find application for ourselves and not allow this just to be something on in 2 Chronicles 31 Amen. That we just look at and we move on.
Right.
But there's an application
right.
for us here as well.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pick it up at verse number 11. There are only, what, 20 verses there?
21.
21 mm-hmm. verses. Okay.
Verse number 11 of the 31st chapter of 2 Chronicles. Then Hezekiah commanded them to prepare store chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them. Faithfully they brought in the contributions, the tithes, and the dedicated things. The chief officers in charge of them was Conaniah, the Levite, mm-hmm. with his brother Shimei as second, while Jehiel, Azariah, Nahath, Asiel, Jeremoth, Zozabad, Eliad, Ishmachai, Mahath, and Benaha were overseers, assisting Conaniah and his brother Shimei by the appointment of King Hezekiah of Azariah, the chief officer of the house of God. Kor, son of Imanah, the Levite, keeper of the east gate, was in charge of the freewill offering to God to apportion the contribution reserved for the Lord and the most holy offerings. Eden, Miniam, Jeshu, Shemaha, Amariah, and Shekinah were faithfully assisting him in the cities of the priests to distribute the portions to their kindred, old and young alike, by divisions, except those controlled by genealogy, males from 3 years old and upward, all who entered the house of the Lord as the duty of each day required for their service according to their offerings. By their divisions, the enrollment of the priest was according to their ancestral house, that the Levites from 20 years old and upwards was according to their offices by their division. The priests were enrolled with all their little children, their wives, their sons, their daughters, the whole multitude, for they were faithful in keeping themselves holy. And for the descendants of Aaron, the priests who were in the fields of common land belonging to their towns, town by town, the people designated by name were to distribute portions to every male among the priests and everyone among the Levites who was enrolled. Hezekiah did this throughout all Judah. He did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. And every work he undertook in the service of the house of God and in accordance with the law and the commandments to seek his God, he did with all his heart and he prospered.
And he prospered. So what's happening here? Lady Kim just finished reading verses 11 through the remaining 20, verse number 21. What do you see taking place in these verses as Hezekiah is going about establishing the commitment of the people? They've received the tithe and the offering. And we saw in the first 10 verses that the heaps, when you talk about the heaps, the heaps were so so large until they, when Hezekiah came down to see them, he was astonished at how the people had responded in such a powerful and a mighty way until they were able to take care of all of the needs. And then they had more than enough left over from what the people were willing to give through the sacrifice and the commitment. And that's true with us, how important it is for us to catch that vision. And so these, starting at verse number 11, Hezekiah does something a little, well, it's not unusual, but he continues to make ready what's necessary in order to deal with the overflow.
Amen. And like you said, in verse 11, it starts with Hezekiah desired to either build new chambers mm-hmm. or to make those that were built more fit. The storehouses or the granaries and the cellars, for example, would be constructed.
Okay.
So here he's providing a place for all, a storehouse for all that will be contributed.
Mm-hmm.
And so the offerings of the tithes and the holy things were brought out faithfully over them. They kept nothing back for their private use, but delivered faithfully in and laid up the whole that was brought and that remained all done by the priests and the Levites and whose hands they care for, which means that they took care of the priests and the Levites as a result of the priests and the Levites being in charge of this work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. And so I think that what God is yet revealing to us is that if we take care of what God requires of us, then God will take care of us.
Amen.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
And when we're faithful in our disciplines, then God honors that and he rewards us accordingly. And so I think the scripture where it says that God has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us and that he'd be with us always, even until the end, it gives us the kind of confidence and the hope that we need, even when what we have and what we're going through doesn't match what God has promised he would do in our lives.
Amen. Sister Myra said they were making space for the overflow.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely. And then, you know, those 10 names, you all, I try my best with those names. But the 10 names that were listed that I went through, they were the assistants to the other two.
Mm-hmm.
And they were under, those 10 were under those two. And at their command, they were to be ready to do what they should in order to direct them to do whatever needed to be done with the overflow. And so at the commandment of Hezekiah and Azariah, these were fixed in their post under the two by the king and the high priest to whom the others were accountable. So whatever Hezekiah, the king, told them, and Azariah, he was the ruler of the house of God, that's how they were to manage what was being brought.
Okay. And they were trusted. They were trusted people who mm-hmm. had proven themselves.
Right.
And so it was not like they were put in a novice over that which somebody who have had experience and a willingness to trust and believe what the process was going to produce.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
So everybody said you did a great job, Lady Kim, with the names.
Oh, well,
Miss Myra and Dr. Q. But I felt a tongue getting ready to come up there a few minutes ago. But no, you
I'll tell you
that.
A secret behind that one day.
Okay. Behind what, the tongue?
No, the names.
Oh, okay.
All the names.
Okay. That's just for me personally. So you want
absolutely.
All right, I'm just checking. And verse number 19, it talks about the sons of Aaron, and you know, the house of Aaron was really the tribe of Aaron, where Aaron came out of. He was one of the Levites, and one the priest came out of the tribe of Judah. Is that which tribe was it that the priest came out of?
Levites.
The Levites. The tribe of the Levites was where the priest came out of that tribe. And Aaron was out of the house of the Levites. And he describes here then how he was making sure that the sons of Aaron were able to participate and be a part of what they were doing in terms of how they were working with the leftover and how they were establishing distributions for those who were among them. And as a result of what you've already indicated, how the priests were taken care of because of their hard work and their hard labor. And so that brings us to about verse number 20 and 21. Unless you want to go back, because I think we started out with verse 20 and 21 and talking about how it says, and with every work that he began, talking about Hezekiah, he did it with all of his heart. And as a result of that, God honored him and he continued to prosper.
And one of the things I've learned recently is there were different, for lack of a better word, I don't know if this is a proper how to describe it, but there were like classes of priests. There were the high priests, you know, then they had the priests that were in the country, the countries and the provinces. And so what Aaron was doing, he was making provision to care for those country priests and Levites that didn't live in the town.
Okay.
Because the ones who lived in the town got to go into the temple more frequently. And so they got...
they were on the rotation for service in the temple.
Yes, and they got more temple pay than those in the country.
Okay.
And so one of the things that Aaron did, he made sure that the priest and the Levites that did not dwell in the town was able to
get reap from the
benefits. Have a blessing, get a benefit from what was going on.
Okay. That's great, because even though they had different responsibilities, they were all submitting themselves and making the commitment to do the work.
Yeah.
And so Hezekiah was making sure that everyone was able to benefit from the hard labor.
Right. Yes.
Is that pretty much?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, I was talking earlier, Lady Kim, about how Hezekiah... He made the kind of commitment, and he had what it took in order to get the job done. He was willing to be steadfast in his approach to please God. In that latter verse, that last two verses speaks to the fact that God was pleased with his efforts. And as a result of that, he continued to prosper. But Hezekiah had to pay an extremely difficult well, I don't know if it's difficult or not, but he had to pay a price in order to please God. And so it is with us. Many times we don't want to pay the price that it takes in order to bring a smile upon God's face. But some of the things that I think happened with Hezekiah that no doubt happens to us when we get to a point of releasing ourselves totally to God is that there's a change of lifestyle. You experience a difficulty in terms of loneliness, and you want to always be able to get your vision across or the desires that God has placed upon your heart. Everybody won't understand what God is trying to get done. And then you have to have an extreme faith in God. And with that, there will come criticism from those who don't understand what God is saying and what he's doing. And you have to work hard, and you have to commit yourselves to use your resources in order to, you, in other words, you can't just ask people to do something that you won't do yourself.
Right.
And then there's a daily discipline that's important. We're just talking about the kind of commitment that Hezekiah had and some of the things that possibly he had to struggle with as a result of that. But you have to have a daily discipline, and then have to understand that when you're all in with God, there's going to be times where you're going to be under constant pressure. And sometimes people get confused there when they find themselves sold out to God, and then all of these things start coming at them that they thought that they may have been free from. But there's going to be pressure. There's going to be criticism. There's going to be a sense of you're doing this all by yourself, but you're not, because God is with you. And then people won't really understand the kind of commitment that you made and your lifestyle, and some of the people you used to hang out with. You'll see that some people won't go all the way. They're just there for a season or for a particular time in your life. But I think that these were some of the things that Hezekiah had to deal with when we're talking about the price of commitment.
Amen. You had a couple of questions here and comments also. I'm going back way back now, and we passed it, but it says it's called Protocols and Processes,
mm-hmm.
what you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But the question that Dr. Q ask is, does that apply to how we are to take care of pastors today? Does that apply or relate to how we are to take care of the pastor today? When we talked about
the priest.
Priest and the Levites,
mm-hmm.
in the towns, and as opposed to those in the big cities.
Absolutely. And I think what happens there is the Old Testament was the revelation that we needed to get a sense of what God was saying, and the New Testament helped expose that to us, and we'll see that same process flowing throughout the Old and the New Testament, and that God wants those who labor to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And many times I think the problem comes when people don't clearly understand the scripture or see how beneficial it is for them to be a full support, because no one goes lacking,
right.
And the oil runs down from the top to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And so it comes down to the hem of the garment.
Amen.
And so everybody has an opportunity to be blessed. It's not just singling out the pastor, but if I'm blessed, then ATOP ought to be blessed.
That's right.
If I'm prospering, then everybody else should feel a sense of prosperity as well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So that's good. And there was another well, I guess they're just agreeing with what you said.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Somebody had another question somewhere, wasn't it?
No, I don't see another one.
Oh, okay. So what we're talking about, and as we've already read these 21 verses in the 31st chapter of 2 Chronicles, and it's really talking about developing the disciplines, understanding the importance of process and protocol. And when we follow strategically that which God has placed in front of us, and when we honor God with the first fruit of our increase, the Bible says that it was so much left over, and they had taken care of all of the necessary responsibilities, that those who had administered the work and who was responsible for making sure that the houses were built, making sure that there was enough room to cover the overflow, that they were a part of that blessing as well. And so that's back to what I said earlier. Everybody, if we participate, no one goes lacking.
That's right.
No one becomes you know, in doubt about them not being able to be sustained. And I think the ones who really began to make a noise, so to speak, is the ones who are actually not participating or not doing their best. And, you know, they look around and they see everybody else being blessed, then they gonna throw a rock or try to cause a disturbance or confusion around why they're not being blessed, because they're not willing, obviously, I think most of the time, willing to make the full commitment in order to go all in and experience what God's going to do. Because we really don't want to give up anything, Lady Kim. We want to hold on to our comfort creatures and our comfort, you know, the little comfort things that we are used to. But when God challenges us to sacrifice, it's a sacrifice really is something that's close to you, or something that you know that's going, you're going to feel it if you release it, because that's something that you kind of cherish or something that you want to hold on to.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. And I had a thought, but it flipped out of my mind. But, you know, whatever Hezekiah set his mind to do, he did it because it was right in the sight of God.
Right.
So Hezekiah carried that integrity. And he did things that pleased God. I think I had in the notes that whatever Hezekiah thought was pleasing to God and conforming to the law and profitable for his people, he performed with integrity of heart.
Okay. And you know, that's so true. And God smiles on that, and God honors that even today when we do what we do wholeheartedly, not as unto man, but as unto God. God is pleased with that, and many times it comes as a result of the kind of sacrifice and the commitment that we're willing to make to sometimes move beyond where we are to get to where God wants us to be.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, that pretty much brings us to a close tonight. We're a little bit ahead of schedule, but any comments or any thing that we need to be aware of there tonight?
Sister Minister Georgia says, take care of God's business wholeheartedly and everything else falls into
place.
That's
right. That's right. Everything else falls into place. Seek first what?
The kingdom of God
and his righteousness. And it's true. All of these other things shall be added unto you. Yes. And so we have to trust that and believe that. And we have to know that the God we serve is a God who's a God of hope, and we can trust him. We can count on him. If he said he would do a thing, then it shall come to pass.
Amen. Dr. Quali said 12 baskets.
12 baskets.
12 baskets.
Somebody say overflow. Overflow. Somebody type overflow. Overflow.
Amen. Do what God commands you to do. Do it with integrity.
That's right.
Be obedient.
That's right.
And watch the overflow come.
That's right. Don't watch your neighbor now. Don't watch other people. Get your signal from God. Get your direction, your marching orders from God. Please God and watch God do something miraculous in your situation.
Amen. That's right.
Okay.
So, and then the lesson for us today will be always prepare to remove all the things that are not of God, remembering that God is our provider as we sacrifice our gifts to him, that God is our provider and our sustainer. Don't forget, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That's what this was all about, how the people gave. They gave their tithes.
Absolutely.
They had all kind of offerings, the first fruit offerings, the free will offerings, but they gave of their tithe, and as a result of them giving their tithe, they had overflow.
I think we're going to have overflow in 2024.
Amen. Overflow.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes, Lord.
Do y'all believe that tonight?
Yes,
Brother Norris,
Lord.
Do you believe that's going to happen for us?
Amen.
Because, you know, sometimes we look at things in the natural, and God is standing back waiting for us to make the spiritual commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I got more than enough. Don't forget now that I still own a cattle upon 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. and the world and they that dwell therein.
Amen.
And so God's got more than enough. Somebody say more than enough.
More than enough.
More than enough to sustain us. And we start looking at that which we what takes our eyes off of God. Mm-hmm. And many times we start to sink and we're not able to accomplish that what God would have us to accomplish.
Keep our eyes on the prize.
Keep your eyes on the prize.
The prize is Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Overflow in 24. That's right.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Well, if there are any praise reports or prayer requests, go ahead and list those as we prepare to close out tonight. This has been a great study, Lady Kim, and certainly appreciate you helping us unpack this and understand how important it is for us to make the kind of commitment. Hezekiah had what it took in order to get the job done.
Amen.
And so I believe that God wants us as well to understand the importance of making the kind of commitment that's necessary in order to get the job done.
Amen. Amen. I just got one prayer request from Sister Deanna Pirtle.
Okay.
Her mother is in the hospital in New Jersey, and she asked for prayer for Sister Seawood.
Okay.
Sister Seawood, we're going to lift her up in our prayers today.
All right. Any others coming through?
I have not seen any others.
All right. Well, anything else you want to share before we prepare to close out with prayer?
We usually do the meals from the heart on the fourth Sunday,
mm-hmm.
but the fourth Sunday is Christmas Eve.
Right.
And so we're going to do meals from the heart this coming Sunday, the third Sunday.
Okay.
So we ask that those who would like to volunteer, if you would come, and we'll kind of get you plugged in to where you need to work, and assist.
Okay.
And I need to get with Minister Shotwell because they kind of threw me off. I was counting on the fourth Sunday so I could have time to kind of organize mm-hmm. things, but they switched on me. So I'm not quite as organized as I would like to be.
Well, you want to have those who signed up to come and experience what happens. And
well, I don't want there to be so many people that they're overwhelmed and mm-hmm. overloaded and they don't have enough work for them to do.
Okay.
So there's always a lot to do, but, sometimes you can have too many. Like my mother used to say, too many cooks spoil the soup.
Uh-oh.
So we don't want that to happen.
No, we don't. We don't need the soup to be spoiled.
But we'll get it together. Maybe
so. The first, what I was going to say,
in January.
January mm-hmm. would be the better one for the new people and have enough time to really get organized mm-hmm. and get everything in place. But we still need people to come and just experience and go on the ride.
Right.
For this coming Sunday that we're getting ready to have.
But I really didn't want it to get cold, you know what I'm
right.
saying?
Mm-hmm.
With such a lag in time between the workshop and the hands-on experience. So hopefully we can get it together.
Between now and Sunday?
I'll see what I can work out with Minister Shotwell, and some other people might be willing to help me to get it together.
Well, you got an audience right now that's willing to help you. They just need to know what you need them to do.
Well, I don't know. That's what it. I got to look at everything and kind of get it together.
Are we still alive?
Okay. We are.
All right. Well, we're gonna close out, and then you'll be able to let everybody know what that's necessary in order for them to move forward. Is
right.
that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You have those numbers and everything, so once you talk with Minister Shotwell, you're going to have something in place for them.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paraphrasing, but is that that's
yes,
pretty much.
That's
okay.
It.
All right. All right. You ain't got to raise your voice at me now.
Oh, Lord. you want me to raise my voice?
No, don't do that.
Okay. If nothing else, if nothing else, we're going to go to God in prayer. I don't see any more prayer requests or praise reports. I have a praise report, but I'm going to let the one who received the blessing yeah. to tell their own praise
That's
report.
Right. That's
but
right.
I tell you, it's a praise report for me too. But we'll let that person tell the praise their own praise report.
All right.
So if nothing else, let us go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We lift up our hearts and minds to you in prayer on tonight, thanking you for the words that are found in the scripture that reminds us what a blessing it is to give. For the more we give, it shall be given back to us again. We thank you for overflow in our lives
overflow.
As we are obedient to your word. We thank you, O God, that we exhibit integrity when it comes to ministry,
yes,
God. And that as a result of integrity, you have blessed our ministry
thank
and our
you,
church.
God.
And we thank you for overflow in our church. We thank you for overflow in our lives. God, we lift up the sick and shut in to you today, God. We lift up all of those who are in the hospital. We especially lift up Sister Seawood today, God, in New Jersey. We ask that you would go by and touch her, God, and with your healing hand. We ask, oh God, that you would show grace and mercy and favor upon her life. And we thank you, oh God, for your healing touch. We thank you for each individual who's tuned in on tonight, God. And we ask that as a result of this Bible study, someone will come to realize that the tithe is the way to overflow. So we bless you, God. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We ask, oh God, as we go into this Christmas season, that you will remind us all that the reason for the season is you. That you came into this world, oh God, to give your life as a ransom for many. And as a result, we are here tonight, saved by grace. And we ask that you would continue to lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. It's in the name of Jesus we give thanks and praise. Amen and thank God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you tonight for being on, everybody. We'll see you on next Monday. Love you guys. I guess we're going to do two chapters next week. Let's do 32 and 33. We'll try to do that, okay? Night, everybody.
Good night.